Make fall cleanup quick and easy, and save big money at Menards. From chainsaws, hedge trimmers, to blowers and more, Works Power Tools and Lawn Equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. Check out Menards' entire selection of Works Power Tools and Lawn Equipment. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Reunion going on tomorrow. Oregon playing Illinois at Autzen Stadium. It's homecoming. Our next guest played two sports at the University of Oregon. He played basketball. He played baseball. Rob Kloss was one of the kamikaze kids, the pride of Sunset High School, friend of this show, joining us now. How are you, man?
I am doing fantastic, John. It was, first of all, it was great to say hello to Judah just now and reminiscing a little bit, but so far it's been a fantastic day. Came down and we had great weather, obviously, driving down from Portland to Eugene, where we had a 1 o'clock practice that we got a chance to see, and we just got done with a tour of Matt Court, and that was very interesting, seeing what's going on there. And tonight we're having dinner with a bunch of guys at the Wild Duck across from Matthew Knight Arena, and then tomorrow football.
Yeah, look, give me an idea. When you get back together, I was talking to Stu Jackson just last week. He was talking about trying to get there and be part of that event. And, you know, you're talking about the kamikaze kids getting back together. What kinds of things do you guys talk about when you reminisce?
Oh, man, great example. So, at practice, it was Ronnie Lee and Gerald Willett, who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated after the ambush in the Oregon Trail. He was there, and a guy named Bert Fredrickson came up from Medford. And we were talking about the differences between practice nowadays and practice of what we are witnessing, and some of the drills we used to have to do, and some of the things that probably, you know, if they were on tape, would, you know, get the coach arrested. But it was really interesting talking about the difference between now and then, and the question about how much money would Ronnie Lee be making on NIL right now if he was, you know, who he was back in the 70s. We talked a lot about, you know, defense. And, in fact, after practice, Dana Altman invited all of us to come up, and his whole speech was not about offense but about defense, and talked about the most prolific scorer in Oregon history was known for his defense, which is so true.
Rob, you played two sports at a time when, you know, people were really starting to specialize. Can you maybe take us into that, what that experience was like for you to be involved with multiple programs and playing two sports?
Oh, man. I was the luckiest guy in the world, as Bill Walton would say. I was a baseball player at Sunset, and my first year at Oregon, I was on scholarship, played JV all year long, all five of us did, and then we ended up next year redshirting. But prior to that, Mel Krause, who was the coach at the time, asked me if I could play baseball, and then got permission from Coach Harder, and I made the trip my freshman year down to Southern California, where we traditionally would take a bus and play, you know, from Pacific all the way down to UCLA. And it was a lot different at that time. I mean, I missed out on a lot of spring basketball. You know, the guys would be playing, and then they'd come out and watch the baseball games. But I don't know that it would be as easy as it was then. Nowadays, it seems to me like everybody's so specialized, and they just basically, you know, have every day in the off season, you know, some kind of conditioning and meetings and things like that. I think it would be harder, which makes it kind of interesting. The middle, I think he's the outside linebacker for the Ducks right now, Betcher, who's a baseball player and a football player. I mean, he's a stud. he's probably going to get drafted in baseball, but I don't know how he does it. I know some days he's at spring practice and he goes to baseball practice, you know. So it was fun. I don't know that it's that big of a deal, but it was sure a good time when I was doing it.
Rob Kloss with us, two sports star at the University of Oregon, one of the kamikaze kids. You guys are having kind of a reunion. You know, can you, for a lot of people who didn't know Dick Harter or maybe weren't around for that era, what was he like as a coach?
Well, that's one other subject we had. He was an ex-military guy, a drill sergeant, and that's kind of the way he ran practices. Coach Harter was extremely a big time disciplinarian. We did drills like taking 10 charges in a row and having to get up and, you know, rolling loose balls out, climbing ropes to the top of MacArthur Court, which everybody said, what's this have to do with my jump shot? It has nothing to do with your jump shot, but it does talk about going beyond what the average person would do, you know, in a practice. But I would say that, you know, that would be, you know, a big, big difference between now and then is the physicality and what's allowed in practice.
When you look at what Oregon has become as a brand, particularly in football, you know, could you have imagined that when you were playing baseball and basketball at Oregon back in the day?
Oh, not at all. I mean, we just took a tour of Mack Court, and we went down to the locker room facilities that we used to utilize. And the big thing for us, I mean, the locker room was about as big as a you know, master bedroom in certain houses. And the big deal for us was having a Coke machine so we could have a Coke after practice in a stereo. We had benches. It was just so antiquated. And right now, I mean, I'm just walking by the new Hayward Field. To give you an example, I mean, you know, track was Hayward Field, but it was all wood, and it's not anything like it is right now. And then you walk into Matthew Knight Arena, and then you see all the different things that have been built for football and all the sports. I mean, you look at baseball and the great baseball field, soccer. You know, I think University of Oregon, as far as facilities, I don't know how you'd quantify it, but they've got to be in the top five nationwide for all sports.
Rob Kloss is with us. You know, we were talking about you before you came on, and we were talking about the fact that you show up, that you represent the region. You support Portland State. Your son Casey played football there. If you go by the Kloss house, you're going to see a Portland State flag. You're going to see an Oregon flag. You're going to see an Oregon State flag. Can you help us understand, you know, where that's born and your support of the region in general?
Oh, and, you know, don't forget Wayne Tinkle at Oregon State. And like you mentioned, Chase Coburn, Bruce Barnum at Portland State. I've kind of thought about this. I love watching kids compete. I love to hear their stories. I like to watch it when the guy at the end of the bench finally gets in and how his teammates react. Right now I'm running out of friends that have kids that are playing in high school, for example, but I just love going to events and, I truly, truly love, seeing kids succeed. And I think there's so many great examples of kids participating in sports, and it really helps them with all types of life issues, you know, how to take a loss, how to be a good teammate, how to cooperate, how to listen to authority. I guess that's what draws me to it, but I sure do like watching kids compete, and I think that's the main thing.
You are also an avid fisherman, and you know, you'll reach out. I think you handed me a salmon at Bridgeport Village one time in the parking lot, and we put it in the back of my car. And, you know, your love of fishing, where did that start?
Well, caught four yesterday, by the way, below Bonneville. That was kind of fun, before 9 o'clock, believe it or not. But, no, I just distributed a bunch of fish to some friends in Eugene, including Don Essig, who loves it. My love for fishing, I think, started with my dad. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I moved to Portland when I was 10 years old, and my dad had a friend by the name of Dale Boggs who would take us down to the Wilson River in the middle of winter. My fingers were frozen, and we'd go steelhead fishing. And Then we had another memorable trip to Gold Beach where we had a dory and we went out and caught a bunch of salmon out there when I was about 15. But that's probably where it started. My dad, we didn't hunt, but we did like to fish.
And the giving away of fish, because I told Stu Jackson, who's your friend, I said, and former teammate, I said, listen, Rob gave us some salmon last week, and he looked at me and he said he sent my daughter a salmon. You're like Robin Hood, you know, all over the place handing out fish. You like to spread that joy, and you're a people person, aren't you?
Oh, without a doubt. Well, let me tell you a little background. I would rate myself a solid A as far as catching,
yeah.
A solid D minus as far as filleting, a solid C minus as far as cooking, but I am really good at vacuum sealing and delivering and then freezing and delivering to friends that typically don't get fresh salmon. So that's where I get the joy.
Well, you do a good job of that. I also know, you know, there's a lot. I had somebody reach out to me when I said I teased that you were coming on the show. They said to talk about your wife. And can you tell us how Deb's doing and how inspiring she is?
Oh, my goodness. As Bill Walton would say, I am the luckiest person in the world because my wife 2.5 years ago had a surgery called the Whipple procedure, which is to eradicate pancreatic cancer out of your system. And then it's a 9.5 hour surgery, and she was obviously in critical care. But after 2.5 years, praise God, she is still cancer free, and she is doing great. She just got back from a trip with her sister, and she is happy. Her happy place, you mentioned those three flags, is Oregon State. She's a season ticket holder right behind the visiting bench on the 42 front two rows, and that's her happy place. And the happiest day of her life was in the lottery. She got the tickets that she wanted, but she's doing great. And you mentioned Casey. You know, she's going to be at Casey's game tonight. Westview plays Mountainside at Mountainside, which is kind of interesting. And now we're watching an offensive coordinator, you know, struggle with a team that wasn't picked to do very well this year, but they're doing good.
Rob Kloss with us. That's great news. Great to hear on Deb. Love that you're getting to see your old teammates, and you're going to be around Oregon's program this weekend. But you mentioned being an A as a fisherman. Give us a fishing tip that we can all use. Guy who caught 4 fish this morning before 8 a.m., give us some tips.
Okay. It's real simple. When you first start fishing, there's a learning curve. So a friend of mine by the name of John Schwomenko, the Sultan of the Selwood Bridge for springers, usually catches the first one, he told me that the key to fishing is patience, persistence, and a positive mental attitude. That's it. I mean, just have fun. I mean, if you don't catch anything, you're with your friends, you have a cup of coffee, a donut, talk about old times. If you do catch a fish, that's a bonus, but for the most part, it's, I love having people in my boat, and it's just catching up, usually. But that, and then talk to somebody that knows, you know, the river or the ocean, and just ask. People will be more than happy to share tips, except for a few people, but for the most part, 95% of people will just share their knowledge.
Are you having any issues with the sea lions? Because I know that, you know, in the Willamette in particular, up by the falls, that, you know, that sometimes the fishermen have trouble with them. They've been trouble in other parts. Has that situation, that standoff with the sea lions and the fishermen, where does it stand now?
Okay, I have seen a noticeable decline in the amount of sea lions the last 2 years. I did see a bunch of traps when I drove through Oregon City by the falls. I heard about a program where they trapped them and then humanely euthanized them because they're sea lions, not river lions. They're supposed to be down the ocean, but it is still a problem in certain areas on the Columbia. But for the most part, on the Willamette anyway, John, I think it's really a lot better.
Rob Kloss, I'm glad you're with friends. Thank you for sharing some of your time. Thank you for the fish that you always text me and arrange to get to me and to so many other people. What's the farthest away that you have shipped fish that you've caught in the rivers here?
Shipped. I've actually hand delivered fish to San Diego, and I just keep it my vacuum sealed pack, and I put ice on it, and I throw it in my bag, and it works out perfect. But that's about the farthest. You know, I brought fish from Alaska to Portland many times, but I really haven't shipped too much. It's just too fragile and too good of stuff. You got to hand deliver. Plus, when you hand deliver it, you get a chance to get a hug from whoever you're giving it to.
There you go. That's what I think it's about. Robbie Kloss, thank you, man. Have a great weekend.
I will, and looking forward to talking hoops here soon, too. That's the practice that I went to see. Ducks are very, very talented and very, very deep, and it looks like nobody's injured at this point, so that's a plus compared to last year. But everybody's really excited about what's going on in Eugene as far as basketball goes.
Well,
so we can
tell
talk
me
about
that
later.
But well, before you go, give me one guy that jumped out at you today where you went, whoa.
Well, obviously Jackson Chelsea. I've been following him since he was in high school. He's a preseason all Big Ten pick. There's a kid named Jamari Phillips. He's a freshman. He was a U of A commit. I'm just watching this kid shoot, and all of a sudden in scrimmage, he knocks down three jumpers in a row. I'm going, who is that guy? Anyway, he's about 6'3". He was committed to Arizona. He's coming back. I think the other thing that's going to be interesting will be, you know, Keyshawn Bartholomew, who played at Cal. I think he's a good factor. You know, he was injured last year. Mookie Cook looked good today. He hasn't been able to play, but, you know, because of injuries the last couple of years. And then Nate Biddle. God, if he cannot get injured this year and play, he could be a huge factor. He had a very, very good practice. So hold on, and I think it's going to be good. You got guys like, Jamari Phillips is a kid I just talked about, a freshman. But Kwame Evans, that's who I'm thinking about. Kwame Evans, the kid that was a freshman last year, 6'9", had a great year. You know, he might not even start. I mean, he might, but I don't know. I mean, that's how good they are.
Rob Kloss, have a great weekend, man. Thank you.
Okay, John. Bye-bye. Tell Anna hi.
I will. There he goes. There's Rob Kloss. You may get fish from Rob Kloss. I'm just saying. I want you to leave it here. We got What's on Tap next.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.